Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, yo.
Hey, welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. I got my co-host here, Dr. Carl Nadolski. And we think my brother has his internet fixed. So when people said it sounded like he was talking over me like a jerk, he is a jerk, but he didn't really mean to talk over me. It was due to his Fisher-Price internet service.
So now I will talk over you.
Now, right. You will talk over me. So we think we got it fixed. Anyway, thanks for bearing with us, although he's having construction done on his house. So there may be some bangs in the background. But today we're going to be talking about my new favorite drug, which is tirzepatide, a brand name. The only brand name out right now for it is called Mounjaro. And if you'd listened to our first podcast on medical weight loss medicines, we talked about the indications, and we went into Plenity, which is technically an FDA device. We talked about Orlistat. Then we went into more centrally acting medicines, Qsymia or phentermine topiramate, and Contrave, which is bupropion naltrexone. And then we talked about some other drugs that came off the market. Then we went into the GLP-1 medicines, glucagon like peptide 1, the two that are technically approved for weight loss right now, liraglutide high dose 3.0 Saxenda, and then also semaglutide 2.4 Wegovy, and then there are other drugs that are in the same class that are approved for type 2 diabetes, Ozempic being one of them, and Trulicity. But there's a brand new one now. This isn't technically approved for obesity or weight loss, however I'm using a lot of it actually off label right now for weight loss. It's called tirzepatide. It's a glucagon-like peptide 1 agonist, also GIP, which is another type of incretin. If you remember from our last podcast, we talked about this incretin effect. Now, you know, whether that augments the weight loss or not, there's lots of controversy out there, debate, I should say, not controversy. But anyway, my brother and I are going to get into some of these new studies, and I'm going to talk about my, you know, clinical experience with it. It's, even though it's only been out for what, a month and a half, I have people getting refills in the past few weeks of it. But Dr. Carl Casey, right. Go ahead and discuss the history, maybe the studies kind of coming up.
This is really exciting for all of us who are in this field, both obesity and especially obesity-associated type 2 diabetes. So yes, tirzepatide or Mounjaro for now is only approved for type 2 diabetes, which is a severe complication of obesity. But we'll maybe at the end of we're talking about the diabetes trials, we'll talk about the big trial for obesity in those who did not have type 2 diabetes that was recently published by actually one of our friends and colleagues who is the first author, which is really cool. So tirzepatide, now here's an interesting thing. So we've talked about the GLP-1 receptor agonists. GLP is a hormone, glucagon-like peptide, that's released from our, what we call enteroendocrine, so our intestine hormone cells, called L cells, in response to glucose and other nutrients in the gut. And it helps the pancreas work better for glucose-dependent insulin secretion, slows down stomach emptying, and it works up in that area of the brain, the arcuate nucleus of the hypothalamus that we talked about, to improve satiety, reduce appetite, ultimately reducing energy intake for weight loss and treating the underlying driving force of metabolic disease like type 2 diabetes. Well, the glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide is what you just said was GIP. GIP is actually secreted from similar cells called K cells, and actually is kind of similar in certain ways. It stimulates glucose-dependent insulin secretion, but it has some different nuances there. It's like it's very severely impaired, more severely impaired in obesity, type 2 diabetes, and even just straight up GIP infusion, I guess, has not really been shown to have direct benefit itself. But there are GIP receptors also in the brain that help reduce energy intake. And then some of these like preclinical studies, you know, we call it bench research. They've noted that GIP receptors are highly expressed in fat cell tissues or adipocytes. And GIP infusion under conditions of higher insulin and just modest high sugars actually improves blood flow to adipose cells, improves their glucose uptake, fat molecule or triglyceride hydrolysis, and maybe plays some sort of role in the regulation of fat cell breakdown and fat cell growth and stuff like that. And so there's this thought that maybe it improves what we call metabolic flexibility in utilizing these nutrients, in addition to seemingly somehow maybe being synergistic with GLP for the weight loss. I heard recently that some even physicians out there, and so I suspect a lot of people, think that while tirzepatide is a dual agonist, they think it's actually a combination of two things, but it's not. It's one single molecule. It's like a 39 amino acid synthetic polypeptide, you know, protein molecule essentially, that mimics our native GLP and GIP in a way that it at least hits both those receptors. So it's a dual receptor agonist, one molecule, one medicine. Not a combination, but basically, you know, based upon all that stuff, they figured, hey, we should compare this type of thing, and there are going to be a lot of future, you know, dual and triple agonists and that kind of thing to just GLP-1 receptor agonist therapy. So the first trial, I think we should talk about, it was a phase 2 trial. So the company that makes this, that developed this, is Lilly. Their GLP-1 receptor agonist that's been out for a long time for type 2 diabetes is dulaglutide. The trade name is Trulicity. And it's a good medicine in itself. It's a weekly subcutaneous shot, similar to semaglutide that we talked about with weight loss. Trulicity is only approved for type 2 diabetes. It doesn't have as robust weight loss as Ozempic, but it has pretty good glycemic benefits, and it did also have good cardiovascular outcomes in their big trial. So of course, Lilly compared tirzepatide or Mounjaro to Trulicity at first. And so there are several different doses that we can, you know, we can talk about a little bit. But in that first phase 2 trial, they had a 1 milligram, a 5, a 10, and a 15. And they compared it to the old high dose of Trulicity. There are higher doses now, but it was 1.5 milligrams weekly. And they also compared it to placebo for 26 weeks. Most of these go a lot longer than that, but this was just a quick trial. People had a BMI of 33. Their hemoglobin A1C, for those who don't understand that, that's like a 3-month average on the red blood cells, that of about 8%, which is about an average sugar, blood sugar of about 183 milligrams per deciliter. Everyone, most people were on metformin in that trial. For weight loss over 26 weeks, there wasn't much for placebo, as we generally know, but there was a 2.7 kilograms a loss for Trulicity, and then around 11 kilograms, which is like 12% in this trial, for the tirzepatide group. So already they're going, holy cow, this is beating up on our own, you know, they love their own weekly GLP-1 receptor agonist for weight loss. And then for the diabetes part, the A1C reduction for dulaglutide or Trulicity was 1.2%, which is pretty darn good, by the way, for people who don't know. Yeah, and that's sort of typical for these. But then it was 1.7 for the 5 milligrams, 1.8 for 10, and 1.9 for 15 milligrams. And remember, we're going to talk about how it takes a long time to even titrate up, because we'll talk about side effects. And so in just a 26-week trial, those are pretty amazing numbers. And then that's what will lead us to some of the big phase 3 trials that we can quickly mention. I don't know if you have any thoughts or questions just on that, of, you know, compared to its
own. No, I think, I think this is good, good to kind of show this beginnings of this dual agonist. It's powerful stuff. I mean, those blood sugar reductions are quite remarkable. I mean, you're going to probably just mention how it compares to some of the longer acting basal insulins, which is, so anyway, the stuff's powerful. So go, let's keep going.
All right. So now we're going to just talk about, there's this whole, you know, all these medications, they have these like groups of trials. So these are the SURPASS trials that we're going to talk about for type 2 diabetes. SURPASS-1 compared all the different doses of tirzepatide to placebo. Everyone in this trial had type 2 diabetes, obesity. They were naive to injectable therapy. So nobody had been on injectable GLP-1 receptor agonists or insulin for that matter. And they had a mean BMI of 32. You'll see a trend here, by the way. Their A1C was about 8%. And the bottom line is placebo had about a 1% weight loss, pretty typical. This was 40 weeks, by the way. And the weight loss ranged from about 8 to 11% in the tirzepatide groups for those different doses, 5 versus 10 versus 15. Now, if you've listened to our other weight loss discussion, probably mostly talking about the GLPs, people with obesity complicated by type 2 diabetes don't lose as much as those who don't have type 2 diabetes. These numbers are very dramatic. It's hard to lose a lot of weight when you have type 2 diabetes. So when you start talking about 10% weight loss on average, this is pretty impressive. SURPASS 2, I'm actually going to skip that one. I'm going to come back. Let's go to SURPASS 3 and 4. These are versus insulin. So for people who don't know, if we need to get a lot better sugar control, we often will start a basal insulin, which means it's a long acting, like a fasting. I describe it as a fasting insulin, and usually start at some modest dose, and you have people slowly go up on that dose of insulin until they get their fasting sugars down to a certain goal. So SURPASS 3 and 4 were against an insulin called Degludec, which is a very long acting insulin, and SURPASS 4 was against glargine. The trade name for that is Lantus or Toujeo, or a Basaglar. There's now several different ones. Degludec is Traceba. And basically Traceba, they start at ready. 10 units. Yeah, Traceba ready, yeah. I always, for the Ozempic, Ozempic. Yeah, I know, they probably think I'm crazy. But so anyway, so they, in SURPASS 3, 5, 10, 15 milligrams, again, had to get titrated up of tirzepatide versus Degludec or Traceba ready, starting at 10 units daily, and they have that titrated to a goal of a fasting sugar of 90. Now, that's really intense. I would not do that in real life. And ultimately, they got those sugars down to about 110, by the way, on average. These patients were also on metformin. Most of them were on metformin, and about a third of them were also on metformin and an SGLT2 inhibitor. So things like empagliflozin or
Jardiance.
Or dapagliflozin, Jardiance, and Farxiga. These are the medications for diabetes that trick your kidneys into peeing out sugar. So they have good weight loss, modest weight loss, modest sugar reduction, a lot of other benefits that we can talk about someday. and so in this group, the people had a BMI of 34. Their average hemoglobin A1C was 8.2. So again, we're talking about sugars that are on average close to 200. And the weight loss, certainly people may or may not know that when you take insulin, you generally don't lose weight and often gain weight because you're actually now absorbing and holding on to the sugar that you're getting from eating. You're actually getting those nutrients and calories to hold on to. So the people who are on the insulin, they gained about 2.5% of their weight. They got up to about 48 units on average of the insulin. But the weight loss for the different groups of tirzepatide were 8, 12, and 14% weight loss. That's nuts. I mean, that's really, yeah, really good. That's just, and the reason that's good, again, if you go back to our talk about medications for weight loss, it's because it's what's on the inside that counts. What weight loss predicts as a surrogate marker for health, because that's what we care about, right? We don't care about weight per se. We care about what does it mean? Well, you start getting 10 to 15% weight loss, you are really fixing
diabetes.
Let's
just be honest. We care about abs. We care about abs.
we do. But yeah, for my patients, yeah. I don't care if you have
it. Yeah, so we're getting rid of liver fat. We're getting rid of the fat that's in your heart and all sorts of places that it's not supposed to be. So that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
So people on insulin gained weight, which we would expect, although the long-acting insulins have minimal weight gain compared to...
But 2.5%, that's not good.
Yeah, no, that's not good. So imagine... It's not helpful. And then the A1C differences...
Yeah. So here, I mean, this is amazing because once upon a time, after we diet and exercise and, you know, metformin and some other types of medications, you know, TZDs, we'll get into that someday. The next best thing to really bring people's sugars down into a safer range would be to use insulin. So the A1C reduction to get that fasting sugar down to about 110 in the degludec group, the insulin group, they only reduced their A1C by 1.3%. Now, 15 years ago, we'd say, hey, that's pretty good. That's meaningful. Okay, that's safe. That's good for long-term benefits of sugar control and why we care about sugar. The tirzepatide groups, they reduced their A1C by 2.2, and 2.4%. Almost twice as much with the weight loss and all the other benefits that we expect to see from tirzepatide. And the trial against glargine, you know, was very similar. And then there was also a trial where they added it on top of glargine. So we know that it's safe to use in people who are on insulin. And by the way, what's going to happen with all these people who are on insulin and they get started on these types of medications, if they really hammer their diet and exercise efforts, they're going to get off their insulin, which is just awesome for people. I mean, one, they love it. They love getting off insulin. Two, insulin definitely has its benefits. It has its role because we do have to keep sugars within a range that prevents long-term complications of high sugars. But these other types of medicines, when you get the weight loss, you get so many other health benefits. You know, there's obviously going to be some cost things that I don't know if we'll get into today, but that's kind of the bottom line versus the insulin. So this is just amazing. And I will say that when they looked at all these different SURPASS trials, we are waiting on the cardiovascular outcome trials. So if you have known heart disease, or really, really high cardiovascular risk, kidney disease and stuff, you probably are still going to decide to stick with, say, an Ozempic or Trulicity because those have the cardiovascular outcome data confirmed. But I'll tell you what, you know, I certainly expect tirzepatide to have cardiovascular benefits because of the.
I bet a large sum of money that it will.
And I'm not a betting man, and I would too. But so when they looked at all these phase three trials, even though they're only around a year long, there certainly seemed to be not only robust safety, but a significant separation in cardiovascular events thus far. There just aren't high numbers in these because these aren't cardiovascular trials per se. But that's pretty darn reassuring. It looks like there's some kidney benefits too so far.
So if you have type 2 diabetes right now and you're going, what is this new medicine out there, Mounjaro? And your sugars aren't controlled, it's something to discuss with whoever's doing your type 2 diabetes. If it's a primary care doctor, maybe they don't know much about this. You might want to bring it up, discuss it. Obviously your endocrinologist should know about it, although you never know, or your diabetologist. But I think it's reasonable. If you have type 2 diabetes, you know, discuss this, and especially if you're not controlled, discuss this medicine. What about, okay, so let's talk about Surmount.
Yeah. So this is where we get even more excited.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about just straight up weight loss in those without type 2 diabetes.
Yeah. So this trial that a lot of us in the field have been waiting on was published. It was actually published simultaneously as they presented the data at the American Diabetes Association scientific sessions a couple months ago. Anya Jastreboff was the lead author. We know her.
We might have her on.
This is really cool. Yeah, well, I'll try to get her on. She is one of the most articulate speakers on obesity and cardiometabolic disease I've ever heard, and she is just fantastic. So maybe she'll listen to this, and I'll butter her up, and we'll get her on.
That'd be great.
She's awesome. So very cool that, I mean, what an honor for her to be able to present this. And this is amazing. So, you know, it's a phase three trial. It had over 2,500 patients. Their average BMI was 38 or 105 kilograms. A fair amount had prediabetes. I'll have to go back and look at the exact statistics on that. So it's not like they didn't have any complications. These were relatively high risk patients with obesity. They just didn't have type 2 diabetes. That was like the key. And they randomized everyone to, again, all these different doses of tirzepatide, 5, 10, 15. It was a 72-week trial because there was a 20-week dose escalation period. So, again, we have to slowly go up on these doses because there are some side effects that we'll talk about. And, you know, the bottom line, I'm just going to kind of go through the results. And, again, this is going to be the weight loss results. So if you go back to our other talks, Generally, the placebo arms get, 2 to 3% weight loss with real basic lifestyle effort. In this one, and that was about right for this. So the bottom line placebo group lost about 2.5% weight loss. Those who were more of the completers, got about 3% weight loss. But the 5 milligram of tirzepatide group lost an average, and again, this is an average of all these patients, lost an average of 16%. That's the 5 milligram
group. That's similar to Wegovy 2.4 milligrams of semaglutide,
yeah.
The one made for weight loss, the big one.
Yeah.
Just 5 milligrams.
And this goes
up, tirzepatide goes up to 15 milligrams, by the way.
Yeah. And so then the 10 milligram group lost an average of 21, and then the highest one, the 15 milligram, lost 22% weight loss. But even more impressive, so again, I wish I could put my slides up here, but if we shift over to that categorical weight loss, where we put people into these categories of 5, 10, 15, 20, 25% weight loss, and by the way, we never used to say 25% for medications. That's like a bariatric surgery thing. So these are where we start to see those really meaningful clinical benefits. So you get more than 10% weight loss, you are fixing a lot of your obesity complications. In this trial, the placebo group, 18% of people in placebo arm got 10% weight loss. We would celebrate that. That's darn good lifestyle effort, to be honest. Almost 70% of the 5 milligram group got that. And 80% to 83% of the two higher doses got more than 10% weight loss. And now I'm just going to kind of go down this line, because you start getting over 15% weight loss and suddenly you're putting disease into remission. Half the people in the 5 milligram group got 15% weight loss. Over two-thirds of 10 and 15 milligrams got 15% weight loss. Half the people in the 10 milligram group got 20% weight loss. 57% in the 15 milligram group got 20% weight loss. And now we're talking about this 25% weight loss next.
Yeah, that's
and this
bad.
Is
that's,
amazing.
That's,
this is yeah, bariatric that's getting, surgery.
It's going to be surgery.
So 15% of the people in the 5 milligram group got 25% weight loss. A third of the people, 33% got in the 10 milligram group, got 25% weight loss. And 36% in the 15 milligram group got 25% weight loss. And this is, we talk about game changers. This is game changing. I mean, this is such a big deal for patients, because we've talked about how hard it is for people to do this, because the biology drives energy intake. And the other people that we argue with on social media, they don't understand.
It's just, that reminds me, there's a guy, a famous fitness pro saying, you don't need these shots. You don't need these shots. You just got to learn how to deal with the hunger, I'm just like, yeah, you're dumb. You want to know why? Because guess what? They've done all this stuff with the placebo groups and they've tried to teach them the same thing. And guess what? On average, they lose, 3, maybe if they're lucky, up to like 7% or so in these really intensive coaching programs, which, by the way, fitness pros, you're not even doing anyway. You're not doing these intensive, these are intensive. This is what I try to teach my coaches, this Big Rocks Nutrition coaching I'm doing. I'm like, I want to mimic this gold standard, intensive thing. And even still with that gold standard intensive coaching, 5 to 10%. Over the course of a year, is still great on average. But to see more than a third of people are achieving 25, I mean, we basically have an injection that's reaching bariatric surgery levels. And, honestly, over the years, it's only going to get better with some of these things that are coming out. But this one, I haven't seen anything I mean, we have the trials, right? But now that I've been using it in practice, I'm kind of like, oh, wow, it's good. Just to get into the physiology a little bit more, there's thought to be that the GIP component this is kind of hypothetical. They've seen this in more of the bench research. There might be a part of it has an anti-emetic effect. So it might counteract some of that nausea that you see just from straight up GLP agonism from like semaglutide that you see. So the GIP, it might be that you could, I don't know. I don't know if they can crank up you could crank up the potency without the side effects by having the GIP. I don't know.
I guess what that we do need to circle back and talk about it, the trial against semaglutide too now. So that's a perfect intro, because while this was not compared to the 2.4 milligram you know, Wegovy. This was, again, in type 2 diabetes. It was almost 2,000 patients, and a mean weight or so of about 94 kilograms, BMI of 34, A1C of 8.3. Everyone's on metformin. So they compared, again, these three doses of tirzepatide to 1 milligram of semaglutide. Now, again, to be fair, we have a 2 milligram of semaglutide, but in its trial against 1 milligram in type 2 diabetes, it didn't do a lot more. A couple percent more weight loss, not a lot more sugar control. 2.4 milligrams of semaglutide versus 1 milligram of semaglutide. A little bit better sugar control, 3% more weight loss in its trial. So again, we can't compare these head to head, but here are the results. So the straight up weight loss for semaglutide, 1 milligram in type 2 diabetes, 6.7%. So again, that's really good. That's awesome.
Yeah, type 2 diabetes, remember, we're not talking about those without in this trial.
Yep. Right. The 5 milligram of tirzepatide got 8.5% weight loss. It blows my mind. The 10 milligram dose of tirzepatide got 11% weight loss. And then the 15 milligram dose got 13% weight loss.
Twice as much as a 1 milligram.
Yeah, I mean, and that's
semaglutide.
Yeah. And the A1C reduction was also better. I can talk about that if you want, but basically, it's just, you know, just a little bit better. It's just kind of amazing, yeah, to be honest.
So I feel bad. Well, I don't feel bad. I'm using this a lot off label. So here's the deal. The manufacturer comes out with these coupons. They want everybody to use it. And, if you have commercial insurance, they'll basically, a lot of insurances, I'm actually getting some insurances covering it, but a lot of insurances haven't even heard of this, and they're like, denied. And this coupon that they have from the manufacturer kicks in and basically makes it $25 for basically a year. Now, the problem is after a year, it may never be covered for you. But in the meantime, it's just like, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? These people, their insurance won't cover Saxenda or Wegovy. Or anything else. So it's like, well, to me, I kind of want to use the best stuff out there. So I've been using Mounjaro, and so far, even just at the 2.5 milligrams, so it starts at 2.5 milligrams, 4 weeks, mm-hmm. then you go up to 5 milligrams for 4 weeks, then 7.5, then 10, then 12 and a half, then finally 15. Honestly, I think there's going to be a lot of people that they won't even need to go much above 5 milligrams. That's what I think based on what I can tell.
Right.
Already, there are some people that I had that were on semaglutide 2.4, which is Wegovy, stock issues. I can't even get this. There are people that their insurance covers it, but they can't even give it because of manufacturing stuff. Apparently, that's going to be fixed soon. But so what do I do with those people? I've switched them to Saxenda because that's in stock. That's liraglutide, the 3.0, but that's not nearly as powerful as the semaglutide. So they start complaining. I'm gaining weight that I lost on the semaglutide 2.4. I'm like, okay, look, why don't I just switch it to this Mounjaro stuff? It's off label. I have to explain that. But just on like little low doses, I actually start, if they're on 2.4 of semaglutide, I switch them to either 5 or 7.5 of the Mounjaro based on how they tolerated the semaglutide. If they didn't tolerate it well while I was trying to titrate them up, I actually start them lower, like the 5. If they were like, did great on it, I start them at the 7.5. I've started a few on 10, but there was one person that had that one wasn't because I switched them. That was because the pharmacy screwed that up. And actually, so here's, okay, I'm just gonna let you in on this. One of my patients got 10 milligrams right off the bat. I was so worried. I thought they were gonna end up in the hospital. Anyway, they didn't. They did great, actually. In fact, and so I'm like, holy cow. They tolerated this higher dose. Now, I will say there have been some patients on the lower doses. Now that I have, I don't know, I have like 100 patients on this now. One patient complained of some diarrhea, a little bit of nausea, but just in general, it's extremely well tolerated relative to the other GLP-1s. And I think, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm going to talk about here in a second, because yeah, I mean, first of all, I'll tell you, I only ever start people on 2.5, no matter what they were on. Most of my patients are probably getting switched from, say,
I would do that too.
To this. Because most of my patients, I, I haven't had as big of an issue with the high dose of Wegovy supply for whatever reason in Michigan. But we also, a lot of the patients with type 2 diabetes, they get the 2 milligram of Ozempic. And really, most of them have responded so well to that. If they can stay on it, there's not a lot of reasons to switch. I have some who have switched. Most of us, like Trulicity or new starts, starting at 2.5. But here, since we were talking about the Ozempic versus Mounjaro study, there was actually more discontinuation of the Mounjaro doses compared to Ozempic. So just straight up, about, let's see, 4% of the people in the semaglutide or Ozempic arm discontinued due to some sort of adverse event. 6% of the people in the 5 milligram dose, and then about 8.5% of people in both the 10 and the 15 milligram dose. So first of all, those are not actually that high in numbers for what these medications are, because a lot of people discontinue a lot of stuff, a lot more than that, especially when you start thinking of the nausea and things that you're concerned about with these. So I actually, while it looks like it could be up to twice as much, those are relatively low, what we call absolute numbers. So I still think that's pretty good. But when you start looking at the more individual actual events, so like nausea, that's what you hear about. Well, it wasn't that bad. So it was less than 1% actually for semaglutide and the 15 milligram tirzepatide. And then it was like 1.3 for 5 and 1.5% for the 10. Vomiting was just a hint more. So it was 0.6% for semaglutide, 0.9% for the two higher doses, and only 0.2 for the five milligram. So, and it goes down the list. There's diarrhea, abdominal pain. Those are all like real slight, like less than 1% discontinuation rates for each of them. It just adds up to the 6% discontinuation rate for 5 milligrams, the 8.5 for the 10 and the 15 and the 4 for semaglutide. So, you know, to be fair, the data show in that one a hint less tolerated or causing discontinuation. But the bottom line of it is it's actually pretty
for the potency. I'm seeing less nausea, but again, maybe it's a small sample size and I'm just excited, but it seems like less nausea, and maybe I just want to believe it. I don't know.
Well, we also probably, you know, we also have, we tell people, right?
Yeah,
we know how to mitigate the risk. We talk about dietary strategies, you know, keep your diet light. If they're putting in the dietary efforts, they're probably not going to eat a lot of the things that make it worse. You know, I mean, we've run into people who, you know, they want to go out and enjoy a big burger and fries somewhere. Those incidents have
so the patients,
caused some vomiting.
The patients actually figure it out over time. They're like, I probably shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because like I tell them like, yeah, eat light, you know, smaller meals. But it's honestly the patients figure it out. They're like, the heavier meals just, they don't sit well. So I'm using this stuff off label. I do have some patients that I switch from like Trulicity or whatever if they have type 2 diabetes in my weight loss program. But otherwise, I think it's going to be about a year until they review and hopefully approve this for obesity, straight up weight loss.
Yeah, probably.
So I think we got to wait. But
yeah,
I think in the meantime, the concern would be from a supply issue, because this is what happened with Wegovy. They gave out the coupons. Everybody ran and started giving everybody coupons, whether their insurance approved it or not. So the concern would be like, is there, you know, let's not repeat again what happened with Wegovy, with Mounjaro. But me personally, if I can't get a weight loss medicine approved for one of my patients and they can't get Ozempic or whatever off label that their insurance approves, I'm going with Mounjaro simply because I know it's going to get covered at least for a year. So I don't know. We could debate that back and forth, but I don't know. It works. It just works so well. It's very exciting for someone who's, you know, we're used to putting together bupropion and naltrexone and hoping for the best. And so anyway, it's a good drug.
Yeah. And if, If nothing else, you know, I mean, it's really just kind of the beginning. I mean, the semaglutide high dose, tirzepatide, the future is really bright. I mean, we, you know, we don't need to get into all these things that are in the pipelines, but like I said, there are other dual agonists, triple agonists. There are combination therapies. You know, I often talk about the semaglutide plus something called cagrilintide combination that has I think phase 2 trials out that just look amazing. So they're all going to keep competing.
Yes.
Hopefully that might help cost. You know, they can keep production up and have these tools available for people because, yeah, it's hard. And now people are going, wow, this is amazing. Well, I think, you know, I just shared a story yesterday about this was semaglutide, but this lady, she had been trying. She's 41 years old. She's like our age. And she weighed 341 pounds last year. She had components of metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, sleep apnea, all these things. And she had been working on it. And I know people will say, oh, no, whatever. But she had been. And then we got her on semaglutide. She's on 2.4 of Wegovy. And in the over a year, she's lost 100 pounds, which is 30% of her weight, like a bariatric surgery. Mm-hmm. All those things are in remission. And she just feels fantastic. Because she was able to do what she was already trying to do.
The tool basically allows for the behaviors. It's not like people are like using this as a magic bullet. It's like they're trying. You give them this. It facilitates the change. It facilitates their behavior. These people out there that just want to say, don't take a shot because you just gotta eat right and eat clean. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Clearly you've worked with enough people that clearly haven't listened to them. They're trying. They're trying out there. And again, we're not saying that calorie deficits don't work. They do. It's hard to actually do it, though. The tools help them do it. It basically, my patients say the same thing. Like, wow, this, like, it made me feel normal. It just made me feel like I knew I should feel like. Mm-hmm. I could stop with one small portion. I didn't feel like having nighttime snacks. Yeah. I could stop when I felt like I could actually have the power to stop as opposed to not stop in the past. All that type of thing. I think it's going to be studied for things like binge eating disorder, all sorts of other stuff like that, because it's hitting parts of the brain that are involved there. So very cool. Anything else? I mean, basically, I love this drug.
No,
I love this drug.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. And yeah, and the future is bright.
Not
and
yet.
No, Lilly is not sponsoring yet. This yet. So no, we're not trying to sell it, but you know, and all different medications have their roles and different things, different pros and cons and risk benefits, etc. So, you know, always talk to your physician about it. Just know that, you know, we have tools available now
and
it's getting better.
Till next time.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities.